You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1940.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, we're discussing why is it that we care so much about what others do? You know, we as a society are dragging ourselves down by what others are doing. We watch news, reality show, entertainment news, and Hollywood news. We want to know what everyone is doing all the time, and we think it's our absolute duty, our duty, that is, to make judgment calls on each and every person. We don't stop there, do we? We don't. We judge our friends, our relatives, our friends of friends, our enemies, and the list goes on. You know, why does what others do matter so much to us? Hey, Bill, what's going on?
You know, I am doing wonderful this Saturday night, Ashley, and I've got to tell our listeners, I'm in a really great mood for a few reasons, but the main reason is that Ashley got me a new chair here in the studio.
Yay! I got you the chair.
And it's a great chair too. So
yeah, it's nice,
appreciate
isn't it?
One of those nice, comfy office chairs, you know, instead of the hardback wooden chair that I was.
The torture device
is what I call it.
You understand. You had him on the hot seat for real, you know. We were going to light it up and use it for like ember or coal,
something like that. Yeah, so thank you.
Some kindling, actually.
I thank you, and my rear end thanks you, but we won't go
Well, back. We're glad that your rear end is happy. We're very happy. I just want to make sure that you're happy with the toilet paper that we provided here in the studio
And it's monogrammed, too, so I appreciate the consideration there.
It's got Bill's initials on
it. It does.
You know, we're talking tonight about the concept of why is it that we care so much about what other people do. And I think this is very important right now. And I think we were talking about this the other day, too, about how this is really poignant.
Well, I've often, and of course, you know, there's a lot of different contexts about why we care what others do. I mean, sometimes it's because it affects us, or sometimes it's because we want them to do something for us, or it's close family and friends, you know, whatnot. I think a lot of times, and maybe we can start here, a lot of times it's because we want to feel better than other people. So it's like, the kind of the nosy neighbor syndrome is what I call it. You kind of look over, you know, someone else's fence or look over their shoulder, and it's like, oh, that person is doing such and such and so and so. And, I think it's kind of a natural human reaction.
You mean to be better than people?
Yeah. You know, it's like, the grass is greener over here instead of over there.
Look at those people next door. They're swimming naked.
Well, and you know, you saw the recent scandal about Jennifer Lawrence and a couple of other.
I missed that.
Well, what happened was that some female celebrities had somebody hacked into their phones. Okay, so it's not like these pictures are on the internet. They hacked into their phones and got. You know, nude
some
photos.
Pictures of them that was on their phones.
It was on their phones. Of course, it wasn't meant for public consumption, right? It was
whole nother thing on that. I mean, off on this because I just don't understand why people have naked pictures on their phone. I mean, it comes a time when you got to kind of come to grips with reality and say, if I have a naked picture of myself somewhere and I'm XYZ known, then somehow or not, somebody's going to figure out how to get it. Now, if I lose my phone in a club and I don't erase it, I don't have a set erase button where it doesn't erase and somebody hacks into it, because anybody can hack into a phone. I mean,
And that's,
have you seen the copies of Rolex they make in China?
Oh,
I mean, give me a break.
Absolutely.
They can hack into a phone. So you know, it's like if you're going to put it out there, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, my point being is that, I mean, obviously the photos weren't meant for public consumption. I mean, you got a great point there. I mean, you know, this day and age, you shouldn't have them on your phone at all or on your computer or anywhere else for that matter.
Well, because somebody's going to get it. And think about those new apps. And I'm not trying to put down anybody with any apps that they've created, because I know some people that have personally created these apps. But these ones that, like, they disappear after like 20 seconds after you read them. On an iPhone, all you have to do is click the power button and the center button, and you take a picture automatically of whatever's sent to you. So that device doesn't even work. If right. I get a naked photo sent to me and I want to make a copy of it, I can make a copy in less than a quarter of a second, and done. I have it. It doesn't matter if it erases
sure,
or not.
Sure. I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, just to finish my point really quickly, the point being is that, okay, now it's been posted on the internet, and there's this huge scandal, you know, invasion of privacy. And I think a lot of people are kind of looking at it like, you know, well, haha, look at them, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, and you're right. I see where you're going.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And then you got a bunch of people out there that are doing it themselves, and they don't understand what the big deal is. And then you got other people that are too good that right. would never do that. And then you got the people that are thinking, well, you know, you know, look, they got in trouble. They deserve it, you know?
You know, they're celebrities. They're in the public eye, you know?
They know what they're getting.
Right. I mean, it just occurred to me. I mean, you sort of just made that point a few seconds ago. You know, I mean, you know, by having the phone pictures on their phones in the first place, they were kind of asking for it.
Yeah. I mean, anybody is, even if you're not famous. I mean, if your phone, if something happens to your phone and you drop your phone, you lose your phone or what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a good looking man or woman or whoever out there or whatever, those pictures are going to get out somehow.
Right. Right. If somebody will leak them or steal them from you, you know, remember years ago, the whole Tommy Lee, Pamela Anderson sex tape, you know, of course, quote
that was on
unquote,
purpose.
I was going to say, quote unquote, stolen from them. But it was leaked. But, you know,
wasn't that Kim Kardashian stolen too?
Yeah,
and the parasol, and that was stolen too, right? But they didn't steal anything else. They might have stolen an old VHS tape, some type thing in the garage or something. Maybe a case of beer.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
maybe that $100 bill that was connected to the VHS tape.
Yeah, the $100 handshake there.
Please take.
but I think from a more general perspective, you know, the whole tabloid industry,
right,
is built on. You know, oh my God, can you believe he or she did that or went there or did this? You know, and it makes the reader feel superior to, and you know, that other person. And I think that's in our private lives too. You know, you hear water cooler talk and, oh, did, you know, this person did that and that person got drunk and blah, 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 blah.
Did you see so-and-so at the Christmas party?
Yeah.
Did you see what so-and-so did there at the going-away party?
Yeah.
It was awful. It was awful. Did you see how drunk they were?
Yeah.
Falling all over each other. They need to go to rehab.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't read the tabloids, but I know a lot of people that do. And I know a lot of people that actually just get every single one of them and read them over the weekend because they love that kind of stuff. And some of them compare themselves to these people. So like you were saying, I can't remember who exactly you said that was involved, but these actresses, a lot of women compare themselves to them. Oh, well, I have naked pictures of myself and that could happen to me. Or you have like the other, you know, the other side is, well, if it's good for them, it's, you know, it's good for me. Or that other side that a lot of people resonate is, I would never do that.
You know,
I have more class and style,
right?
And I have you know, a belief system, and I go to church, for goodness sakes. You know, I would never have naked pictures on my
right.
phone.
Right. Yeah. You know? And then you know, speaking from a male perspective, you know, athletes, like football players, you know, they get in trouble, and like Orlando Scandrick of the Cowboys, you know, he got caught with amphetamines in his system. You know, he went down to Mexico and, you know, took, well, they call it Molly. It's a form of ecstasy now. And he got caught in the system and he suspended for 4 games. And all the, you know, the sports talk radio, the sports columnists, you know, were just on their pulpits. You know, I mean, my gosh.
God bless this man took some drugs down in Mexico. What the heck are we going to do now?
And, you know, and I listen to sports talk radio, and you
me
wouldn't believe the callers. I mean, you probably heard it. You know, you believe the callers. You know, I mean, it, you know, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that person did that. I mean, it was kind of the general.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody's standing on their soapbox and making a judgment calls. And it's easy to make a judgment call from the sidelines. It's really easy. And I agree that I would say for some direction, you know, with that in mind, I mean, if you know that you're going into the season and everything, I mean, I'm not saying to do drugs, but I'm saying, you know, maybe you should have thought about the timing on that. The other side of it is kind of thinking, you know, I know a lot of people have been down on the Cowboys a little bit over the years, saying that we have a lot of showboaters. We have a lot of people that think that they are the star. That's it. And I think that that might also be coordinate with that as well, because people feel like, oh, Dallas, you know, Dallas Cowboys all glitz and glam, and these kids are always up to something.
Right.
But at the same point, we've all done stupid stuff, okay?
Oh,
we've all
yes.
done stupid stuff. And so we got to kind of take it, you know, we got to take it lightly sometimes.
I mean, so some famous person once said, let thee who has not sinned, let him cast the first stone.
Yeah, I'd like to see who walks up.
Wink, wink.
I'd like to see who walks up with that first stone, you know, because we're going to be checking out. We're going to be going through all kinds of stuff. We're going to go through your background check. We're going to do an FBI check on you before you're allowed to pick up that brick or stone. No, but, you know, tonight we're going to be talking about some stuff about, you know, why is it that we care so much? You know, let's talk about why it's good for some people and is it good for me? We're going to talk about the whole martyr code as well, the angry reformed approach, because I know a lot of people out there, and there was a time when I felt the same way. I came from the angry reformed approach in my thought processes on what people were doing, as well as the whole concept, it's not fair. And then also, why do they get to get away with it? You know, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts we have, because I know from the perspective that some people are at is like, why don't they just take things seriously and take their life seriously and not screw it up? And, you know, on the other side, too, some people like us are saying, you know, hey, let's, you know, quit judging them and kind of maybe refocus on your own life. But we'll talk about that later. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know, we'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're discussing why is it that we care so much about what others do? You know, I think this is like quintessential question that we have to ask, because we constantly are asking about what others are doing, we're questioning them, we're making judgment calls, we're deciding what we think about them. You know, even if it's Hollywood, it could be Hollywood, it could be these reality stars, it could be whoever's on TV, it could be the news, it could be the president, for God's sakes, as well as our friends of friends, and more than our friends of friends, our enemies, right? The list goes on. So, you know, why does it matter so much to us? And, you know, before the break, we kind of started getting into that, and I think the first thing we need to explore tonight is that if it's good for the goose, then it's good for the gander. I think this is a typical approach that a lot of us take. You know, if they're doing it, then maybe I should be doing it. You know, so a lot of times you think judgment calls are always on the negative side. It's not always that way. It can actually make somebody else decide to do something crazy. You know, like the sex tapes. How many people try to make a sex tape after they saw,
Lord. You
know, after they saw, Kardashian do it, and then Hilton did it, and then I know how many thousands of people were going to do a sex tape after that to try to get famous.
I mean, and of course, I don't look at these websites. You know, I'm not into that, but all you got to do is just a quick Google search, and there's so many amateur porn websites out there. It's why I don't. I don't know about you, Ashley, but when I'm trying to look something up, I don't type the website directly into the address bar. I always Google it first, because if it's like .com or .net or .org or whatever, you could accidentally bring up a porn website.
Oh, and that's a bad deal if you're at work,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
If you're at work and your computers
bad.
Are being watched, there could be some stress off of that. So you're right. If they're, and it's funny how people, if they're doing it, they actually think about doing this. And this is kind of one of those concepts, too. You know, if we're all going to jump off the roof, then you want to do it as well. And yep. a lot of this comes into the popularity deal. You know, nowadays, certain things make you popular. Certain things make you notice. I mean, in the social media world, you know, there's people out there that honestly, you know, work a small day job and they have 20,000 followers on Instagram. And you know, they have naked pictures on Instagram, or they do whatever because they're getting all these followers and it's the most attention they've ever gotten. And they're famous in their head. They're famous.
You know, along those lines, Ashley, we were talking before the show about how it especially affects women in society, because if, whenever women apply for jobs, Now, of course, I mean, men and women, too. I mean, you know, your prospective employer is going to do a background check on you, okay? Well, you know, one thing that a lot of women will do that's not good for them is they'll post on their Facebook or their Instagram, you know, party pictures, you know, they were, you know, had a little too much to drink.
Oh, the news uses that now. News uses it all the time. Yeah. Like Fox, you always see it. They'd be like, so-and-so arrested for child pornography in Highland Park, you know, and then they show the pictures of her laying on her leopard print bed and you know, and saying 420 and smoking a doobie. And yada yada, and everybody's like, "Oh, bad woman, bad
right,
woman."
Right, yeah, and so I've known some women who didn't get a job because their employer said, "Well, I found this picture of you, so I don't think you're really a good candidate."
And
it's not fair. I mean, you know, you can make a good point that that's kind of discriminatory to women, but you know, also too, a lot of times HR departments are full of women. You know what I'm saying? So so it kind of cuts both ways there. But
it's a
vicious
cycle, I tell you.
You know me. I've been preaching for a long time now. Women have to be careful about what they post.
Everybody needs to be careful what they post. And I agree with you, women more so. I mean, for the stalker effect. But, you know, people do need to focus on this. If you're putting, you know, hey, it's 420, ready to smoke out, and you're trying to get a job, bad idea. You know, if you're out there posting pictures of you half naked, probably not a good idea. You know, I mean, you can share those with whoever, but I mean, to just blanket them out on social media like that, those are going to last for a lifetime. They might not be on your timeline for a lifetime, but they're going to be in someone's.
And one thing that, you know, nobody, but especially women should never, ever, ever, ever do is sexting. Never text anybody, your boyfriend, you know, whoever, naked pictures of yourself.
I agree with that.
You know, because and we were talking about this again before the show, you know, the whole thing of revenge porn, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, once you send something out there, it's out there and you can't take it back.
Speaking of which, you know, I know a lot of men. I have a lot of male friends. I mean, I was the best man, you know, in several weddings. And so I was always the person.
Keyword best man.
Best man. Yes. Yeah, best man. I picked out the ring. You know, I stood there. I had a tuxedo. It was a female tuxedo, by the way. But
tuxedo,
I had it nonetheless. So, you know, the one thing I did learn, though, from that is that I got to hear all the backstories that most women never heard because I was always in the mix. And I remember when somebody would send a naked picture, it was all everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. Now, even if you were in good standing with whoever you sent it to, they still showed it to everybody. I mean, I even saw it, okay? So just FYI, when you're seeing like these Hollywood stars do this and you think maybe this is good for them, you should do it. Maybe, you know, think twice because really, honestly, I mean, unless you're already like a star, I guess it could work. But I just think that it's just a bad idea. And also it shows a little disrespect for yourself.
It absolutely does. And ladies, I'm sorry, but you know, this is just the way men are. You know, hey, dude, check this picture out, man.
Yeah, look cool? at you this.
I've done it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not necessarily proud of the fact, but I've done it.
You don't get a star for that one, but at least you're honest.
I mean, you know, so
honesty is the best policy here at Perspectives.
Yes, it is.
We pride ourselves in honesty, even though honesty might not always be the best choice. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. We've all done it. I mean, I haven't done it, but I mean, we've all done it. I think any man listening tonight has done it if they've had the option. And, you know, and I think it also makes them look funny, though, to ask for it, too. I don't know. When in society did it become legal and okay for men to ask women for naked pictures?
Well, I know there are some states that are trying to outlaw it. Now, that's going to be one of those unenforceable laws.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but women fall for this. Oh, but honey, I love you so much. And I want to have a picture to get me through the day, you know, to remind me of you because I'm so in love with you. And women are suckers for that.
No. Women. Always up to something. Darn women.
I know.
Why don't they understand?
I was teasing my girlfriend the other night. You know, it's the Eve effect. You know, I mean,
yes.
Eve seduced Adam and it's just gone downhill from there. Of course, you know, I know that's going to yank her chain. You know, and she knows I'm kidding about it, but.
Eve seduced Adam.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, we're not going to argue this one.
Adam. Eat the apple, baby.
Oh, gosh.
No, but Adam, you know.
Let me give you some pate with that. A little cheese, a little brie.
You know.
Sip of wine.
A little cream. Well, okay, never mind. But
so think about this may better my life, right? So think a lot of times the good for the goose, good for the gander, this may better my life. or at least make it more interesting. And I know there was a show a few weeks back, we were talking about boredom and how boredom can really get you in a lot of trouble. And, you know, if you're bored and you're thinking about ways to spice up your life, think about it clearly. You know, don't go with what you see, you know, on the tabloids. Don't go with what's happening here with the Kardashians. Really rethink your life, because sometimes boredom is just the inability to connect with your emotions. Sometimes boredom means that you're kind of missing the boat. And that's a clear scenario. What about it seems beneficial for them? Maybe I should try it out. And I think that's interesting, too, because when we see something as beneficial for someone else, we think that we should try it out. Maybe it'll work for me. Maybe that's the right thing for me. Maybe that's what I should be doing. And that's clearly not always true. You know, sometimes it can be, but sometimes you have to really rethink those things.
The whole grass is greener thing, which, by the way, aren't there videos on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. There are videos about Perspectives, The Grass is Greener. That was a good show.
That's called a plug, Ashley. I'm plugging you, so you're welcome.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk about residuals later.
It's
what I call the children of the corn syndrome. You know, everybody's above average. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
everybody's above that.
You know, we don't like it when someone else has something that we don't. Well, why can't I, you know, have a nice house in the suburbs? Why can't I have this car? Why can't I have, you know, this kind of computer? Why can't I be able to, you know, fly out to wherever just whenever I want to, you know, and, you know, your kid gets that kind of education. Why can't mine?
And I get what you're saying, too, Bill, because it's kind of like if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. That's not always true. I mean, you have to sit there and look at it from every angle. And unfortunately, the way that our news is given, you're not going to be able to see every angle. You're only getting to see what you are dished, what you are programmed to see. That is all you get. So you don't see the other sides of what kind of detriment this might cause or what this is doing to their, you know, emotional psyche, or if this is really all what it is. Because a lot of times it's just perception. It's the way we perceive things because we want it to be a certain way. You know, for example, like, you know, when people go to islands for major trips and they go, oh, well, we were out on the beach and we were in this beach house. And the first thing you think about is this amazing beach house with a huge, like, sprawling, you know, like acres of land and a big pool. And you don't really realize that, you know, the beach house has two bedrooms. Half of it was burned down and, you know, and there's some raccoons living in it, you know? I mean, you have to sit there and really think about perception versus reality.
Yeah, Jake Gatsby.
Yeah, you just never know. You know? Yeah, you're over there thinking, you know, 24 karat gold pool, while and actually the raccoons are hanging out in your trash can making their own pool. So anyway, when we return, we're going to be talking about the martyr code and about what that means and how a lot of times we fall into that cycle of judgment based on us just being martyrs. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been discussing why is it that we care so much about what other people do. You know, earlier before we went to break, we discussed the whole concept of what is good for the goose is good for the gander approach. And a lot of times, we see someone else do something, and we think, you know, well, if it works for them, it might work for me. You know, on the other hand, we think, oh, well, it might better their life, maybe it'll better mine, or it seems beneficial to them, so maybe I should implement that in my life. And so it's a different side of judgment than we normally hear, because it's more of a agreeance or a following type judgment instead of the opposite that we normally hear. And that's where we're going to right now, is the concept of the martyr code. And I came up with this because I know a lot of martyrs, okay? If anybody knows, you know, a mother or a grandmother, God bless them. I mean, they are our family. You love them. But sometimes they can be martyrs. Sometimes it's just the way it is. You know, a lot of times you even meet your friends that have kids, and they're always like, I can't go anywhere because I have my children, and I have to take care of them all the time, and I can't leave because nobody else is going to do it, never. And the same parents, like the husband's like, let me take over. Let me help out. You can go do something. They're like, no, I want to go with you. I want to hang out. It's the same concept. It's the martyr code. So let's talk about that now. Like, I think the martyr code begins with, I'm perfect and I'll never do anything wrong. Okay, so if you put it in perspective of some sort of scandal or some sort of drugs or some sort of crazy hotel where you have like one of the actors, you know, getting drunk and breaking things in a hotel room and everybody goes, oh my gosh, just what a misfit, what a loser. And, you know, I would never do that. Who does that kind of stuff?
Right. And like I said, I think that's what the tabloid industry, you know, TMZ, TMZ would not exist if people didn't have that attitude.
That's so true. I mean, if people didn't have that attitude, none of that would really work.
Yeah.
And sometimes people just want to see what everybody's doing wrong. I guess you're right, to make themselves feel better a
little
bit.
You know, the kind of the voyeur, you know, type thing. The little old lady who looks in people's, you know, bedrooms and snoops and stuff like that, you know?
Or at least my life isn't that bad.
Exactly. See, I mean, so you can look
at
other people.
It's the Jerry Springer approach.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So you look at Jerry Springer and you go, and he's over there going, so we have so-and-so is 99.9% chance, the father of the child. He shoots, he scores. And everybody's like, well, at least I don't have that as my situation.
But then he fathers children by 17 other women, you know, something ridiculous like that, you know?
He has a tribe of women, actually, 35 women in all totality, you know, all different races,
and
sizes,
and
shapes.
And let's bring them all on stage now, then they, you know, get to fight.
Ages and races, you know, we got it all. We cover it all. It's all equal opportunity, you know? So think about that. I'm perfect. I never do anything wrong. Or what about, I would never do that because I'm good. I'm good. And life
I'm
is
better
so
than that.
Hard for me, too. I mean, I have worked and slaved my whole life. I would never do that and ruin my life. Like you were talking about that player, which I haven't. I heard a little bit about it, I think, on a couple of stations about the guy that did the drugs or whatever in Mexico, and then he tested positive. Is that how it was?
Yep.
Okay. So he tested positive, and then he's out for, what, three games, four games?
Four.
Okay. And some people would be like, I worked for everything I've ever gotten. You know, if I was playing pro football, there's no way in hell I would be caught doing drugs.
Or, you know, that's just stupid. You know, he's going to get tested. So he should know, you know, that. And how could he do something so dumb?
He should know a little bit.
I mean, Sports Talk was just full of that comment. You know, that's just dumb.
It is kind of dumb. I mean, I guess if they weren't taking the whole side of, I can't believe they've ever done drugs. I mean, because I think there's a totally different type of judgment call. It's like, I can't believe they would ever do that ever in their whole life. And then some people have some sort of background and realize that life's not always perfect. You don't always do the right thing, right? So you can kind of understand. But yet the timing of that is a little odd, a little off. Not really thinking about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he was just thinking in the present.
And, you know, and that starts to make other people have a judgment call to the next level. If that happened then, is he always constantly doing this? And so it doesn't make that much sense.
Yes.
You know, like he's always doing it, so he didn't really think about it.
Right.
You know, and that's again, another judgment call that's outside of us. It's judging something that's not even our life. And I think the amount of wasted time that we do with judging these things are just hilarious. You know, I mean, I might think that I can, you know, I can throw that pass better than some of those players, but you know how it goes, you know? So what about I slave for everything I have? I slaved for everything I have. And I think that's an interesting one, because I was actually talking to a friend of mine recently, and they told me that they, you know, they begged, borrowed, and stealed and enslaved to get to where they at. And I really said, let's put it in perspective. Did you really slave? And they're like, no. And our words are kind of interesting, too, because that's kind of a martyr scenario. I slave for everything I got.
Well,
you know?
And maybe that's kind of related to the whole, you know, feeling superior thing, is you want sympathy from other people. You want them to look at you and say, oh, how good you are, or, man, you work so hard, and, you know, so I think that kind of comment tries to elicit sympathy, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I agree with what you're saying, because they want sympathy, they want to have respect. You slaved.
Yeah, that's maybe respect is a better word.
I slaved for this. Yeah. I worked hard. Because, you know, I think about the flip-flop. Our whole country, our whole world, if you get something easy, they're like, oh, what's going on here? Why don't I get anything easy? And if you get something easy, you know, you're not going to work toward it anyway. You know, it just came easy for you. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. And so when people, like, walk around work with their head down and they kind of give that look of, you know, and you kind of look all down and just angry all the time, people go, man, that guy's really working hard. So, hey, let's go to the phone lines. I know I see the phone lighting up right now, and I think it's time to take some calls on the Martyr Code. Okay, line one, we have Julie. Julie, good to have you on Perspectives Live here with Ashley Burgess.
Hey, Ashley, thank you for letting me be on Perspectives. You know, I'm a longtime listener and love this show, and I just kind of wanted to put in my two cents about the Martyr Code. I definitely agree with it. I'm guilty of the Martyr Code myself. Me and my friends, you know, we will watch reality TV shows or even the news and, you know, just judge people basically on, you know, what we see in their actions and the decisions that they're making, and, you know, not looking at ourselves like, oh, you know, what if somebody was watching our lives? You know, how would they feel, you know, if somebody, you know, at home judging us on the decisions we make, you know, not thinking about the shoes that they're in, you know? So I definitely totally agree with the MARTA system.
Hey, I appreciate that, Julie, and I'm glad to get your perspective because that is genuine and real, and I think a lot of people out there listening tonight can resonate with what Julie just said because a lot of us watch those TV shows, and because they're putting their life out there for all of us to see, they're actually making it easier for us to make judgment calls, and we also see all the warts and all the blemishes and all the things, and we also sit there and look at them and make fun of them, you know?
Well, and it just occurred to me, Ashley, isn't that what reality TV is all about, or quote-unquote reality? Of course, we know reality TV is
to get people up in arms.
Well, I mean, it's the most scripted form of entertainment there is out there. I mean, it's not really reality, but you know, you're able to kind of, you know, be the voyeur, look in, and, you know, behind the scenes, quote unquote, and see all the drama and oh my god, that person's so stupid, or you know, I never would have done that, and all that good stuff, and you just like those people are idiots. I would never do anything like that.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easier said than done, and it's easy to make a judgment call.
Julie, do you watch reality TV?
I do. I watch a lot of reality TV. It seems like that's really what's basically on TV besides, you know, bad news.
Oh, she's right. You know, it's like every single channel, like channels you wouldn't think of that would do that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all over TV now. You can't get away from it.
No, you can't. You can never get away from reality TV. If it's from, you know, swamps like Duck Dynasty, or if it's from, you know, meeting up with the Kardashians, or, you know, just something weird, you know, that people wouldn't normally watch, but we watch it because it's so intriguing, and we want to know what's going on in everybody else's life instead of our own, you know, kind of like a, you know, drift away from our own lives. And so to see somebody else having more drama and more, you know, issues in their life, you're like, oh, yeah, let's watch it, you know. And then we pull out that judge card like, okay, that's just too much. I would never do that. Even though we're not in their, you know, their shoes, we still judge them no matter what, not thinking of, you know, our own shoes. So
you're so right, Julie.
Reality TV shows.
You're so right, Julie. We really appreciate you calling in, and we look forward to hearing you from more in the future as well on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. And thanks for giving your perspective.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
Hey, have a good night. You know, Julie brought up a good point, and that was about reality show TV and how a lot of times we make these judgment calls. And I think this is sincere. You know, the whole martyr game and the whole martyr code has really gotten out of control. And a lot of times it's because it's there for us to see. It's there for us to make those judgments. You know, a Jerry Springer's show isn't just because everybody wants to see who's the father of the child. People want to make judgment calls. They want to see that their life is better. You know, at least my life is better than that guy's. You know, and sometimes we get into that whole judging ourselves versus other people, which everybody does most of the time. All the time anyway. So they judge themselves against pro players. They judge themselves against the billionaire. They judge themselves against the guy that has nothing. He's got 2 cents he can rub together. And apparently he's got 9 baby mamas. All these things in life, a lot of times we judge. And especially when we watch reality show TV, you know, we can think about, you know, oh, I go to church, I would never do that. Or other people need to look toward you for the morality and about how these people are completely immoral. So, you know, I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting concept. And I look forward to hearing a little more on that whole side, especially the concept of I'm a good person or I'm a smarter person and I would never do that. So stay tuned, because when Perspectives returns, we're going to be discussing the angry reformed approach. And I think a lot of us fall into that category. The angry reformed approach. We are the reformed. We've done the right thing now. And now we're angry that we see other people doing it. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes.
I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring why is it that we care so much what other people do. You know, we have a tendency of really caring what others are doing around us. You know, we watch reality TV show, we watch entertainment news, we watch Hollywood news, we watch the news. And also, we judge, we make calls on everybody. We make calls on our friends, our relatives, our friends of friends, our enemies. You know, I mean, think about it. The list goes on. And a lot of times we make these judgment calls and we care what people do, you know, because we're watching it, because we're human is what people say. You know, it's a human expression. You know, we're supposed to judge other people. And why we judge other people? It's obvious. We judge other people because we're constantly judging ourselves. We're judging ourselves against everybody around us. Sadly enough, I think a lot of people listening tonight know that there is one thing that actually is justified. The concept of, well, I would like to be better than I was yesterday. It's like about the idea of being better than you were yesterday or the day before, being better than you were, not being better than John or Jake or the guy on, you know, Jerry Springer that apparently has three children. I mean, we can all be kind of maybe better than him, right?
Or at least we hope so.
At least we hope so, right? It's all about being better than that guy.
Yeah.
At least I'm not like that guy, you know? So let's talk. We talked about the martyr code earlier, and I appreciate Julie's call because I did bring it in full circle. However, let's talk about the angry reformed approach. And I think that's something that I've fallen into the trap before. And the angry reformed approach, you know? If I can't do it, they shouldn't either. You know, if I can't do this, if I can't get trashed on the weekends, or if I can't go crazy, or if I can't smoke cigarettes, they shouldn't be doing it either.
Or how about this variation on it? Praise Jesus, I am born again, and if I can do it, then so can you, and you shouldn't be, you know, doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, and because if I can do it, then so can you.
Yeah, it's true. It's like
amen.
It's like the concept of it's like the concept of rehab, and we all know people, and I used to EP a band. And their music is awesome, by the way, but they've fallen apart. And the reason why they fell apart is because one person in the band went to rehab, okay? And they weren't happy with the other people not going to rehab because they had problems too, you understand? And so two other people decided they were going to go to rehab, and one person decided they weren't going to go to rehab because they didn't think they had a problem. They didn't think they had a problem. Now, I'm not saying they did or did not have a problem. I'm just saying they didn't see that they needed to go to rehab. So the band broke up on the precedence that somebody else needed to go to rehab because the judgment call was made.
Yeah, I mean...
And it happens all the time.
It does. And so I think that it's kind of a, you know, human, natural human thing. That once you've made an improvement in your life, or you think you have anyway, then if you can do it, then so can anybody else. I mean, you know, and maybe it's kind of like, you know, nobody, you know, you're not better than me. So, you know, if I can do it, then so can you.
If I have to do it, then you do it.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, and by the way, while I wasn't meaning to, you know, make fun of people who, you know, have either dedicated or rededicated their lives to Christ. I mean, I'm a Christian. And so at my church, you know, I love it when, you know, somebody
comes in. Oh, I didn't take it that way at all. No, I see what you were saying.
I'm just saying, I think we've all known, you know, the folks who have either dedicated or rededicated, and then all of a sudden they're all about it.
Or they hide behind it. There's a lot of people that hide behind that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that really believe in it and they do the right thing and they step up and they help people when they need it and they help people that are going through troubled times instead of the flip-flop of, I'm going to judge that person. I don't want them around me. They're not good enough to be in this church. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that they're bad people. They're bad seed. I don't want them around my family. And, you know, and there are maybe there are, you know, issues of that. But yeah, think about it. Like the first time I quit smoking years ago, I quit smoking and I was a vengeful ex-smoker. The vengeful ex-smoker that doesn't want to sit near anybody that's smoking. So, like, you'd sit outside, and you would have to move all the way around, and eventually you would end up sitting inside somewhere because you couldn't be around smoke. Now, when you went to places where the smoking was allowed inside, that was a whole different ballgame. I mean, there were a couple times I walked out of the restaurant saying, you know, I'll never spend any money here again, and I'm never going to do this. And
right.
Mark my word, they're going to get rid of this, and they're going to change this law, and there's not going to be any smoking in here, and all y'all are not going to smoke. And... you know, when I think back about it, that's crazy because when I was a kid, I remember smoking on a plane. I remember lighting up a black...
You're dating yourself, by the way.
It was the... yeah. They had it only at Aeromexico, right? It was Aeromexico. In the 90s, you were allowed to smoke on Aeromexico, the last two rows of the plane. Now, I remember going for a spring break when I was going to TCU, and I remember I brought a friend of mine with me. And he and I were in the back seat smoking it. And I had a black, what is it?
What else were you doing in the back seat, Ashley? We won't go there. Okay.
We won't go there because this is a
Christian this is a family show.
Yeah, is a family good show here. Now, so we were sitting in the back seat, and there was another a girl sitting to the right of me. And she was smoking like Marlboro Reds, and I was smoking these extra cloves, extra black cloves something. I mean, and you could hear them like crackle. You
just
know,
like, just like really rancid type cigarettes.
I used to love those.
Yeah, you didn't do the Virginia Slim, you know, dainty female ones.
No,
you,
I mean, not at all.
You went all
the Cougar cigarette, not the Cougar cigarette.
No, not for you.
Cigarette.
That was not for you.
No, I was in the hardcore clove smoker, you know. And I remember I would sit there and smoke these cloves, and then it was a 3-hour flight. And think about all those poor people in front of me that had to endure that. And there I am, you know, fast forward. I was at the restaurant saying, I can't smell my food. If someone is going to smoke around me, they're so rude. So, you know, a few years pass and I end up starting to smoke again. And when I finally quit for the last time, and it's been over 3 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And you, Jake was also very helpful with myself. I woke up one day and knew that I just wasn't going to smoke another cigarette. But it was different this time because I can be around anybody smoking. 2 days after I quit smoking, when somebody would like smoke around me, they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Let me go. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't bother me. It just doesn't bother me. And so now I can actually be in a closed room with somebody smoking. And, you know, it might bother me a little bit if the air, if the flow is not really, you know, flowing in that room. But for the most part, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I actually don't mind the smell of it. I really don't mind. And that's when you realize, you know, hey, I quit for good. And it's not holding me back because, you know, like it's almost like a dry drunk, right? When somebody sees somebody drinking, they're always going to argue. They're always going to fight about it. But if they're over alcohol, they don't care if somebody drinks.
Well, I was just about to say, Ashley, you could say a lot of the same things about recovering alcoholics or recovering drug addicts. I mean, when they're going through that that process of recovery on the 12 steps or whatever program that they're in, then a lot of times, you know, they can like, I drank for this many years and I did this and I did that and ruined my life, but now I'm clean and sober and you should do the same thing.
Exactly. And a lot of times that happens because they're not grounded in their own recovery. Okay. You have to be in your own recovery and care about yourself. And a lot of times when I tell my clients too, that are going through rehab or going through a situation like this is, you know, you don't need to be caring about what anybody else is doing. Okay. You know, there comes a time when you need to be caring about yourself. You need to make judgment calls about yourself. You haven't made the best ones in the past. Okay. So we really need to focus on ourselves. And a lot of times when people go through rehab or rehabilitation, the first thing they want to do is to help other people. Well, you got to get a little time under your belt before you can help someone else. And I think the whole angry reformed approach, though, is interesting because, you know, a lot of people look at it like I'm against it, even though they did it. They were part of the problem at one time. They were hanging out, having a blast, or, you know, there's a bunch of sinners there, and a bunch of sinners, and karma's going to come back and just bite them on the ass.
Yeah, don't you think it's kind of a pendulum effect? You know, I mean, you were all one way, and then you overcompensate by going all the other way. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, you just got to find that happy medium. You know, you can't live other people's lives for them. You can give suggestions or give advice or, you know, live by example or whatever, but... You know, and actually, just real quickly, kind of put this in a Christian perspective. I always thought that was one of the points of the parable of the prodigal son. You remember that one?
Yes.
You know, and just, you know, maybe for our listeners, you know, may not be familiar with the story. You know, Jesus was telling the story about this brother, and his younger brother was a kind of a screw up, and you know, he left home and didn't come back for 20 years. And the older brother was the good son and stayed with his father and helped farm the place and, you know, did all the things that you expect a good son to do. 20 years later, here comes the younger son. He's broke, down on his luck, you know, trashed out, whatever. And, you know, and the father, instead of, you know, wagging his finger, told you so, or being mad, he threw a party. He was happy. Yay, you've reformed. And now you're back in the fold and I'm going to welcome you back. And the older brother was like, wait a minute. All this time I've been doing everything right, and you know, and why are you know, happy for him? What about me? And you know, of course, the father's response was, you know what, we should be happy, you know, that he's back. You know, he was lost and now he's found. So, you know, to kind of tie into what we're talking about, I'll wrap this up. Is that if someone is, they've quit smoking, they've quit drinking, they've quit, you know, whatever, you know, addiction, or whatever improvement in their life. Be happy for them just to be happy for them.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? True. I mean, and don't come at from a perspective of, well, I mean, you know, all this time I, you know, didn't do that. So, you know, it's about time you came to the party or whatever. You know, just say, hey, congratulations. You know what? And because it's like in your case, Ashley, 3 years, hey, better late than never. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I agree with you. And that story is very interesting. I mean, I can hear like the voices in your head, though, saying, at least in mine, going, you know, okay, so he's down on his luck. He's rock bottom. He's got no money. Now he comes home. But anyway, you know, I could see where people make judgment calls, you know, when they do everything right. However, you're right. You know, it depends on the perspective, and you're not in their shoes. And so it's easy for us to make calls. And, you know, the thing about doing the good thing about it is that you do the good thing because you want to do the good thing, not because you are made to do the good thing. It's because you do it because that's what's right for you.
Right.
And that's key. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be talking more about the angry reformed approach. Also later on about how it's just not plain fair. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing and analyzing why it is that we care so much about what others do. And, you know, it's interesting because we watch entertainment news, we watch reality shows, we watch the news, we watch The Hollywood Reporter and all that stuff. We want to know what everyone's doing. We want to know why they're doing it. We make judgment calls on people on a daily basis. We even make judgment calls outside of TV when it comes to judging our friends, our relatives, friends of friends, and especially, what, our enemies, right? The list goes on. So right before break, we were discussing the angry reformed approach. And I think that a lot of us can resonate with that, because I sure did. I was that person that was angry and reformed and upset about the fact for a little while that I was angry and reformed. And, you know, and we go through those processes, especially when we try to better ourselves, you know, make a better choice, whether it's like to quit smoking, like I was talking about earlier. You know, you go through that process where, you know, you try to quit something, you quit something, and then other people around you are doing it. You're like, why are they allowed to do it? But when I figured it out, when I finally quit smoking for the last time, and it's been, what, 3 years now, you know, it was amazing, because it doesn't bother me. I can be around people smoking, and it just doesn't bother me. And I think that's important. It's an important thought process, because a lot of times when we're angry and we're reformed, we're really not over what we've reformed from. Right, we're really just not over. We haven't let it go. Really.
Well, I mean, I think again, it's kind of like the new convert, you know, type thing. You're still in the throes, you know, the process of converting, or in this case, recovering.
True.
And I think that while you're still in that process, it's why and again, just coming from a church perspective, it's why, you know, when someone joins our church. Our pastor has a rule that, you know, and people come in and they're brand new. Oh, I want to join the choir. I want to, you know, join this club and you know, want to do this and that ministry. You know, this, you know, we put a 6 month wait period. Now, I mean, it's kind of an arbitrary figure, but the point being is that, okay, it's great that you want to do all this stuff. Let's see if it's going to last before we get you into all these ministries, because over the years we've just found out that, you know, people who convert, or they're new members of our church, and they get involved in the choir, they get involved in this ministry and that ministry, and then, you know, a few minutes later they leave.
Oh, I understand. I agree with you. I have clients that have, you know, they say they really want to speed up. They want to do it fast. And so, you know, for everybody listening that doesn't realize that I am a therapist, and I'm also a licensed life coach as well. So if you don't want to deal with a therapist, you got the coach, or vice versa. But I have people that say, I just want to get this done fast. I just want to do it fast. I want to get done. And it's kind of the concept like when you're losing weight really fast. I mean, when you lose weight really fast, it's very hard to keep it off. It's just difficult.
Because your body thinks it's starving.
Yeah, it's just really hard. Yeah. And even if you do lose it, guess what? You go back to those old ways really quick, because you didn't really have to work for it so hard. You know what I mean? You didn't have to work for it as much. And also, you probably weren't losing fat, right? You were losing water weight gain. So a lot of times in the beginning, the changes we see aren't necessarily real metamorphosis, right? They're just changes, kind of like side changes, like maybe, what do you call it, when you have like certain ailments, you know, like symptoms. It's more like symptoms of a situation than the actual situation. And that's always interesting.
Well, yeah, it's like Mr. Miyagi said in The Karate Kid. You know, you got to learn to walk before you learn to run. That's nature's rule, not mine. a movie reference.
Wow.
Ashley,
oh my God.
That's 3 weeks in a row I've pulled movie references on you.
Yes. Good job.
Coming from the guy who never watches movies.
I know. Bill has never watched movies. Bill is one of those people that's never seen any movie. Like, you can ask him about movies, and he's like, I don't know. We pull clips for the show for y'all to be entertaining. You know how it is. We'll do some stuff at the front is segments. That's what radio does, right? And we do that to have fun, but Bill rarely knows what clips those are, which is
funny. Yeah, I mean, you have to tell me. Go to this time in the movie and record until this time.
And let's add that in. You know, let's add it in for fun and festivities. You know, and it's funny. But, yeah, I can't believe you knew that. Wow.
3 weeks in a row.
There is a God. There is a God.
You've just witnessed a miracle, folks.
We have a miracle up in here.
Praise Jesus.
It
hallelujah.
It is Saturday night, and there are miracles, and it doesn't have to be a Sunday. So let's talk about that angry reform person, because a lot of times people will say that it's karma, and karma's going to come get them. And I know some people that are actually scared personally of karma because they think that one of their relatives is actually going to provide them karma. And I try to explain that, you know, they're not the provider of karma. They're not karma's, executive right-hand man. And, you know, karma is all, like, that's a lot of stuff that people use. Well, karma's going to get them. It's going to come after them.
Now, what if karma is your name? And karma literally is after you.
That would be awesome. I should have a kid and name her Karma.
I have a friend whose daughter, they named her daughter Karma.
Oh, jeez.
K-H-A-R-M-A, by the way. So.
No, that's not cool. K-H.
You know.
K-H.
No. I mean, well, the H is silent. You still pronounce it Karma.
Okay. But
yeah, so, you know, I mean, at least they won't get lost in the crowd, right? You know, Karma. Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, no, Karma's after me.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I take your general point there.
We need to
Ashley.
Have her on the show.
Yeah, she's like 5 years old.
She's got a cool name. Yeah, I don't care. I love kids. We should get a bunch of children on the show and really talk about perspective, because that's when you'll hear your true perspective.
Oh,
I've been wanting to do that
betcha.
For a long time.
You betcha.
We got to do that. So we're going to flood the studio.
We need to work
day.
On that.
Yeah, we got to do that. We have to have the kiddos in the studio. I'd like to do that like once a week would be kind of cool. So, okay, so what about they're going to pay for this? Those sinners are going to pay for what they've done, you know? And I think that that's an interesting concept, and I think that that's interesting. However, why? And who's going to make them pay? And what does it matter if they pay? I mean, I think it's interesting how we get all screwed up in the head about what so-and-so's doing, because it matters so, you know, bloody much. Which to me, there's times when, you know, you get in the headset and you start thinking about things that don't really matter, and you start making judgment calls, and maybe you're feeling a little down that day, and you need a little pick-me-up and go, well, at least it's not that bad. But, you know, for the most part, it's like, why are we over there just, like, making calls? It's like that, those two old guys in the Muppets, you know, always talking crap.
Up in the gallery, yeah.
And they're always talking crap. You know, we all have friends like that, too, that openly talk about everybody they know all the time about the judgment calls, and do you think they're going to do this, they're going to do that? Or what about, oh, they're heading to rehab, you know, or when you know, like about Lindsay Lohan, how many people were all about that? Like, oh, rehab's never going to work. And how many rehabs are there, for God's sakes?
Well, you know, Ashley, I think that people who are always, like, you know, making judgments against other people, oh, you know, that person's stupid, and I wouldn't, you know. I've always wondered if it doesn't mask some sort of insecurity.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they're trying to cover their own insecurities by making themselves feel superior to others.
And it's kind of also like they have a judgment, like what they say matters. You know, like,
but like anybody gives a blankety blank.
Yeah, but they think, know? Okay, well, I'm making a judgment call on this. And also it kind of defers from them. So think about it, like, have you ever heard that those good stories where they start off with, I was at this party and it was insane, all these people were really out of control, and I saw so-and-so doing this, you know? And then you're like, but you were at the same party, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and it's kind of like, let me diffuse the light from me and talk about how so-and-so is really screwing up, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes an astute person to realize, but you were there with them. So what were you? Were you, like, holding their hand with a Bible? Or were you in the mess, too? Because probably you're in the mess.
Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Those who live in, you know, wooden houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, or you know.
If you live in a teepee, don't throw a stone.
Or even brick houses. You can chip the facade, you know.
Yeah, you can chip it, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to spray it with, like, even a water hose. What are those ones that you, like, really, like, when you're washing the brick off real well? And
Yeah. The pressure.
What is it called?
Pressure, like the little
pressure gun,
thing.
Or what
is
it called?
I'm not sure what
water
it's called.
Water pressure gun?
We'll call it that.
You can take out the grout, man. You can take out the mortar between the bricks, actually, you know? So, what about their line? I like that one. They're lying. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. I always like the one, the hypocrites one. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. But it's funny when you say hypocrite, it's funny how we're really saying that about ourselves because we're really the hypocrites.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, calling someone else is, and I've done this too, I'll admit it, but you know, calling someone else a hypocrite is actually pretty hypocritical.
It is, and it's funny how when we point things out about other people, it usually is a point reference for ourselves, and it's never something we really want to look at. It's never something we really want to address, but really, when we do point it out, it is something that's either, it's registering to some degree, whether it's angering us, whether it's bringing up a past thought process, whether it's encouraging us to think about the past, maybe when things weren't so good, or maybe something that's it's been on your mind. I mean, there are some people out there that have always done the right thing, always done what's socially right, what's acceptable. And sometimes, you know, people just need to kind of, you know, get crazy a little bit. You know, sometimes people have lived this complete structured life, and when that happens, they get appalled by other people not living that way. And sometimes you just got to let loose, you know?
Yeah, although, you know, going back to what I said earlier, don't let the pendulum go all the way. You know,
we don't want a bunch of people going off the deep end after listening to the show tonight. But
balance. Balance is the key.
Balance is the key. Yeah, so don't starve yourself from fun as well as just don't go crazy. Don't be jumping in the pool of fun and not bringing a towel or a swimsuit. So stay tuned because we're going to be talking about it's not fair and why do they get to get away with it, because that's what's so important. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Yeah, he's just really excited and he has no clue why we're here. That's very funny to me. Y'all ain't laughing, though.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we have been exploring why it is that we care so much about what other people do. And right before the break, we actually finished up their whole concept of the angry reformed approach and how I felt that there was a time where I had actually fallen into that category. You know, they're all a bunch of sinners and, you know, karma's going to come after them. You know, if they knew what's good for them, they would stop doing that because it's not right. But now it's time for It's Not Fair. It's just not fair.
It's not fair.
Mom, it's not fair.
Well, I was just about to say, Ashley, and I won't get into this too deep right now, but I think you know who I'm going to use as an example on this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Oh, no. It's just not fair. Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about if it's not fair. It's not fair. If I can't do it, then why are they allowed to? If I can't do it, why are they allowed to? Why can they do it? I mean, that's an essential
part
of it.
Or the other way around. If they can do that or if they can have that, why can't I?
Exactly. Yeah, the top of the bottom on that one. And I agree with you because you can look at it from both sides. You know, what's good for the goose, good for the gander, or kind of the reformed approach of if I can't do that, okay, and I'm past that, and I've been put into rehab, or I've been told that I can't do this, or I reformed for whatever reason it is, why are they allowed to do it?
Yeah.
And you see that a lot, too, with couples. Okay, so let's talk about it in a different perspective. Let's talk about flirting. Married couples flirting, okay?
Now, with each other or with other people?
With other people.
Okay.
I mean, you see it all the time, and you see, like, you know, one person flirting, and then the other person catches the spouse. They're like, oh, wait a second. You know, that's not right. That's not fair. And they're like, but I'm doing it, too. You're doing it. I thought this was just all okay.
That would really be a faux pas if you did it in the presence of the spouse.
I've seen it happen before.
I've seen it happen too. Yeah, I've seen
it happen where you see the guy literally turn all the way around and look at a woman up and down, and then be like, "Hey!" And all of a sudden, they're like, "It's like they forgot their wife was there. Like they forgot. Like the wife's just standing there, like, hey, it's just me over here."
And then he wonders why she's so mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
We're going home, you know? I mean, but think about it. Like, people do crazy stuff. Yeah. I mean, and you know, a lot of times people, when they get married, too, that's another sidebar, is that a lot of people get married at too early of an age, I think. And I think sometimes people get married and they haven't really sowed their royal oats, and they get into the relationship, and all of a sudden they go, oh, crap. You know, my best friends, John and Dave and Steve,
Man, they're always out at the bars, and I'm always at home, and I'm having to try to figure out a way to get out of the house, you know? And then you got the women that have got married at an early age, too, and had kids at a young age, and they see their girlfriends out of the clubs and doing this stuff, and, you know, they get that one night off, you know, and they go crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but in the meantime, they go home, they reform, and the next week, they I can't believe so-and-so is just so out of control. I mean, you know, but really, what's that about? I wish I could be that out of control. I wish my life was more fun. I wish I had more fun, you know? I mean, think about when people make comments about tattoos. That's like the, I don't give two shakes about tattoos, okay? I really don't. And you know why? It's because you can have a tattoo if you want. And I had a guy actually look at me and say, do you have any tattoos? And I go, no. And I said, well, I know you do, because he has probably, I don't know, I'm going to average or I'm going to round up to maybe 25, 30, 40, I don't know. And he said, well, I wouldn't have gotten them if I would have known that everybody else was getting them, you know? But my side on that is, guess what? Tattoos, I don't care about tattoos. I know people that sit there and go, that's just awful. That's just satanic. Or that's against moral fiber. And it's like, I could care less. You know why? Because a tattoo concept doesn't even enter my mind.
Yeah.
It's so far from my reality. And I don't care if anybody has a tattoo. I don't even care if they have one on their face.
Well, and I can understand why some people would look at somebody who has a lot of tattoos and think a certain thing about them. Because, you know, your outward appearance says a lot about who you are.
That's true.
And, you know, people identify themselves. And quite honestly, you know, there's been a lot of people who have a bunch of tattoos who have chosen to live certain lifestyles and have certain beliefs, you know, dare we say antisocial, you know, biker gangs and, you know.
Well, think about Mike Tyson. If Mike Tyson was a normal guy, okay, and he was just a normal guy, just like you and I, like never been a prize fighter, none of this, right? And he was trying to get a job with that tattoo on. I mean, would you hire him? I mean, maybe Whole Foods would hire him probably. Whole Foods would do
but,
it.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, most businesses, what's the other kind of, you know, Zen, you know, out there? Yeah, I can't think of it right now. Anyway, but most businesses are, you know, they want you to be fairly conservative in your outward appearance because, and especially with companies that deal with customers.
He'd probably be like a yoga instructor.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or he made his own oils.
But he definitely wouldn't be like a salesman. You know, he definitely, you know, you wouldn't put him in a shirt and tie and expect him. No, I mean, you wouldn't do that. I mean, you expect someone to, you know, kind of dress conservatively and have their hair just so. And
he might own a tattoo place.
You know, I mean, it's okay if you have your tattoos, like, you know,
I know people that hide them and they hide them because they know what society's about. They get it. They get that people make judgment calls.
Yeah. And, you know, same goes for the women, too. You know, the so-called tramp stamp. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know, you know, some women go out of their ways to display it.
You're right. Like, the clothes don't even work that way. Like, you had to, like, button it up on the back or put, like, some sort of safety pin in there. You had to actually cut that shirt or you buy all your shirts that are, like, midriffs like
right.
that. And it's like, and they normally all have what? The belly button earring.
Yes.
The belly button earring.
The belly ring, yeah.
Yeah, they all have that, too. Or the chain. Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, you're right about that. And it's like they want to show it. They go out of their way to show it. But, you know, we're in a society now that goes out of their way to tell everything. I mean, think about it. When did it become a big deal to talk about your sexuality and to define yourself by that? When did it become a big deal to say, I'm from here, my heritage is this, instead of, you know, I'm an American?
Well, it's the pendulum effect, you know, because up until, I guess, the late 60s, America was such a, you know, the societal conditions were, we were such a repressed people. You know, you didn't talk about that kind of stuff because you didn't want to give anybody any ideas. You know, I was actually talking with my girlfriend the other night. A good example is I Love Lucy back in the 50s. Okay.
I love it. I used to love that show.
Yeah. And I still enjoy the reruns. She, in real life, was married to Desi Arnaz. Okay. And, you know, that was her husband and those were, you know, their kids. But they could not show her pregnant. She had to, like, stand behind something. And they slept in separate beds when they were, you know, showing the bedroom scenes. You know, God forbid that, you know, they were in the same bed and, you know, people get ideas. That's just, you know, immoral, you know, even though they were married in real life.
It's kind of funny, though, too, because, yeah, I know it was a sitcom. It was a comedy. It was kind of like, if you think about it, there's a side of it that's almost like the first reality show.
Yeah.
To a degree. I mean, but you didn't really see the size of the reality of it.
You know, it
was what they portrayed.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what they wanted you to see. But yeah, so, you know, but then starting in the late 60s and, you know, especially on through the 70s, you know, sexual revolution, we responded to it by going completely the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And I
wish I would have been in the Woodstock times.
And now it's like, get a hotel, you two. I mean, you know, that's fine that you're, you know, into each other like that, but. You know, I mean,
but we're not into you like that.
Yeah.
So we don't want to see it.
Exactly.
Please cover up. Put a cover up on.
You know, save it for your significant other. I mean, you know, Jen and I have talked about this. You know, I mean, there are certain things that we save for just for each other.
That's smart.
You know, I mean, we hold hands. We may kiss, you know, in public. I mean, I'm not grope, but I mean, you know, we may, you know, share a kiss in public.
That's smart.
But, you know, beyond that, I mean, you know, it's just for us. I don't want it to share it with anybody else.
Well, okay, so then that's another flip-flop of the dice, is that when you start sharing it in public, what are you really looking for? Are you looking to make her happy? Or are you looking to impress or to make other people around check it out? Because a lot of times we do things for the drama, to do things to make other people think or make comments. And I think that that's interesting. And so, you know, let's talk about this. Life isn't fair. Right?
Right.
The rich and famous are always getting away with everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, this goes to show, like, what you're talking about. Like, if you do things in private, that's one thing. If you do things in public without thinking about it, like you kiss somebody, whatever, you're not thinking about it, that's one thing. But if you're going around doing things with that mentality of, I want people to see me and I want them to either be happy or get a rise or be happy about this, or I want to cause some drama. And I think a lot of people are doing that now more so than ever. And I think a lot of times that comes in the form of an argument when we see people arguing at restaurants now.
Yeah.
Everybody's always argued at restaurants, but I'm talking about, you see people go all out and it's almost like they think that there are film cameras on them right now and they're playing out this whole thing like the Kardashians do, you know, the TV cameras and stuff. And you know, we see that the life's not fair, the rich and famous, they're always getting away with something. And I think that's interesting, because I think if you had cameras on you 24/7, we'd probably find something that people would say is reprehensible, you know. And yeah, to a degree, it does seem like maybe sometimes they get away with murder. Gee, Simpson. But anyway, it does feel like it, you know. But things do happen, and if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about more about what's not fair. And why do they get to do it anyway? So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring and understanding why it is that we care so much about what others do. And, you know, we do it all the time. We catch the news, we catch reality shows, we deal it with our friends, with our enemies, with our friends' friends. We make judgment calls on everything they do. You know, and before the break, we were discussing how it's just not fair. You know, earlier we discussed the angry reformed approach, and now about how it's not fair. If I can't do it, then why can they do it? Why should they be able to do it? And I think a lot of times we see things on TV or we see our friends doing something, and we might be in a different situation. For example, you might see somebody going out all the time, having fun, going to the clubs, going to the bars, having fun. Maybe you didn't get to really have that in your life. You know, maybe you got married, you got kids early on, and you're kind of sitting there going, geez, why do they get to do it? Why don't I? I mean, why can't I do that? Why can't I have fun? And sometimes we have to take a step back and kind of realize where our life is at. You know, sometimes our life's not there, and sometimes maybe that person that's always going to the nightclubs might not be that happy. You know, they don't have maybe a marriage. They don't have kids.
Yeah, maybe the reason why they're going out is because they're trying to cover up their unhappiness.
Exactly. Or to find something to do. They're so bored. They don't want to be at home by themselves. Maybe they're just lonely.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of times we see it as, oh, they're just having all this fun, and I'm over here just doing what I'm doing. I'm over here taking care of the kids and dealing with the husband and doing this and doing that. And, you know, my life is just so humdrum and boring. And look at all these people, all these famous and rich people, and how they always get away with everything and doing all this stuff. And, you know, and I think sometimes we kind of look at our lives, and we do it a lot on social media as well. You see somebody, you know, with the light, they seem to be the life of the party, always party pics and, you know, all these real fast cars and big houses and all this stuff, and you're thinking, well, why didn't it ever happen for me? Or, you know, why do they always get it? You know, I mean, I've lived by the rules, I've done what's right in life, and where has it gotten me? And I think we have to step back and see, where did it really get you? Where are you really? You know, take a thought process, step back and say, where am I? You know, and I think that's important. So it looks like we have a caller on line one. Chad, you're on line one. You're live here with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ashley? I just want to tell you I love y'all's show. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. We love people like this. We love listeners that love the show.
Yeah. And I just say, you know, what you guys have been talking about, I just totally agree with. I think it's great and great topic, and just always love tuning into you guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Chad. Thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Sounds good.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Have a great Saturday night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chad was right on. I like that. I love when people call in and they just love the show. That's one of the best things. That's, you feel good about it. It's good, warm, feel-good stuff, you know?
Yeah, so you know what? Out there, feel free to call us.
Yeah, call us more. We love calls. We like getting new calls, and we like to hear what you have to say, your perspective. So yeah, it's not fair. You know, just who do they think they are? And everyone has to live up to the same rules. This is a society, right? Like, I remember on Seinfeld, the whole George is like, this is a society. We have to live by society's rules. And a lot of times we let society dictate what we're supposed to do. But in actuality, isn't it all about what we're supposed to do for ourselves? What makes us happy?
Yeah. You know, I mean, and I want to apologize to you and to all our listeners, because on this show, I talk about my mom a lot. Okay. I mean, the main reason is because I love her. You know, so I don't want anybody out there to think, oh, there he goes talking about his mother again. Let me tell you something, folks. I love my mother more than anything else on this earth. Okay, it's just that for a lot of the subjects we talk about on this show, you know, and she fits into it. You know, she's dealing with a lot of issues in her life right now, and this is one of the primary issues. You know, all she ever wanted was to find a man, to get married, settle down. You know, house, white picket fence, Fido in the backyard.
That's what a lot of people want.
You know, and for various reasons that didn't work out. And also she has, oh my gosh, Ashley, you wouldn't believe she has so many medical issues. She's in pain every day of her life.
God bless her.
And usually it's only a matter of how much. And most days she can handle it, but some days she just can't. And you know, that affects a person's mindset. And, you know, it's like, you know, my gosh, I mean, why am I having to go through all this? What did I do? So that is really her mindset. I mean, of course, she also went through a very painful breakup.
Oh, recently. I understand about the medical, though. You know, I understand about the medical when you see other people just have no medical issues whatsoever, not one, it seems like, from the outside perspective.
Looking. Yeah, I mean, you know, so she's looking at people her age.
And why are they so healthy? Why am I over here suffering every day?
Why can they afford to take this vacation? Why can they afford this house, this car? You know, why can't I have that? And she will literally say this: what did I do? Why can't I have all that stuff? And you can just hear the pain in her voice. You know, she's not just putting on. She literally feels this way.
Yeah, she feels like, well, why? What have I done?
You know, but she'll do it to the point, and I don't mean to be mean about it, but my brother and I mean, we get to the point where we just don't want to be in the same room with her.
Well, it's hard because like, what have you done? You know?
You know, it's like, you know, and she wants to vent, and she wants to be held, and, you know, and cry and all the good stuff. But for me, there's only so much of it I can take, especially for my mom, because, you know, I love her so much.
I understand, you know, what you're saying. I mean, I see where you're going with this, too, because I feel when I hear that, and I've done that in the past, too, when I was younger, and I've gone through some health issues and what have you. Why me? Why me? And it took me a while to realize what I was supposed to learn from it, but I also had to take life into my own hands and realize that no one was going to make my life better but myself.
Yeah.
And that's what got me to start realizing that if I didn't do this or I didn't do that, I might not get to the next level. And it just, the medicine and all that stuff, I realized was no longer working, and it wasn't ever working. It was only a symptom cover up. It never really saved anything or made anything. I had to change my diet. I had to change this. I had to exercise. I had to do that. And I agree with you. And a lot of times we look at it from it's not fair perspective, but a lot of times it's the choices we've made. And we can change those choices. We can move it. But it's kind of like one of those big tankers where you have those tankers on the water, and they're very big. And so when you move the steering wheel, or, you know, like, you
it's
know,
turn the Titanic.
Yeah, yes. It takes a while.
Yeah.
But if you're going in the right direction and you start making life changes that are good for you, you'll eventually get to where you need to go. And I know it can be overwhelming, because there's sometimes where you just go, well, why, God? Why me? I'm a good person, too. You know, and I understand, I mean, where your mom's coming from, but also there's a time when you got to take, you got to step up and say, okay, I'm in control here. You know, even though I have felt like I'm not in control, and that's normally what happens when people aren't in control.
Yeah.
And we are all in control of our own life, our own destiny. You know, it's not until we decide we're not that things start to fall apart. Or a lot of times when we decide to take, you know, we take the helm, that also means that that's a lot more responsibility. A lot more leadership, you yeah. know, and I agree with you. I never think that you're upset with your mom at all. I think that you love her very much, hence why you care so much about her. Otherwise, you wouldn't care. You'd just be like, well, I'm just not going to go over there, and I just don't want to really deal with it, and I'd really like to just kind of end this right now, or, you know, whatever, you know, and I think that's your position.
Yeah, I mean, it really is my position, you know, and with my mom, like I said, it's not just health, although that's a major part of it. You know, relationship-wise, you know, her first marriage failed. All her other relationships have failed. You know, monetary wise, you know, she's not where she thought she would be at this time of her life. It's just like all heaping on top of her. And that's hard. It's hard to deal with.
And you have to kind of go layer by layer on that. You got to pull one layer off. And I mean, everybody has an issue. And you know, the last book I wrote, that the 10-day challenge to live your true life, I did focus on the fact that everybody gets one thing not right. Okay, whether it's your health, whether it's your marriage, whether it's social, whether it's work, whatever it is, there's one facet we normally don't seem to get right because we're too busy doing all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so as she gets layer by layer, because I can see why she would think it's not fair. And a lot of times it's easier to kind of say that too.
Because in her case, she's right to a certain extent. It's not fair. You know, she didn't ask for all these health problems.
That's
you know?
True.
And now so the relationship and financial problems she kind of brought on herself. Right. I won't get into that tonight, it's not fair, but, you know, life isn't fair sometimes.
Well, we all have choices. We're all given choices. Otherwise, it would totally be unfair, but sometimes we make the wrong choices. And sometimes we considerably keep making the wrong choices, and we don't change that choice. And so it keeps getting worse and worse. And a lot of times that's where it stems from. And sometimes at that point, you have to put the car in park, and you got to just, you know, reset it, take the keys out of the ignition, walk around for a little bit, get back in the car and drive and realize, okay, we got to go to a new level. We got to change it up. You know, and I think that when you're in that position, though, you kind of sometimes think, you know, why do they get away with it? You know, they seem to be above the law. They don't seem to care about anything. Or why is it all the pain on me? And also think about this. We don't really know what people are going through. We can make judgment calls from the outside and see it a certain way, but you don't really know what they're going through. You just don't. You have no idea. I mean, you know some people that never have a handicap sticker, but they've had two heart surgeries and whatnot. You just don't know. And so because people don't normally air their laundry out like reality shows, we really don't know. We can compare ourselves and say it's unfair, but I think a lot of times we're given what we can handle. Sometimes more, it seems. Sometimes way more than other people, but maybe that's just because we're stronger people. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be discussing the whole enchilada, what all this means to you, what the implication is, and why we tend to do these judgments on a daily basis. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, and this has been an awesome show. We've been talking about why is it that we care so much about what others do, and I think it's really, really important, especially nowadays, because we all do this. I think back in the day, even back in the prairie days, back in the settler days, people were caring about what other people did all the time, and it hasn't really changed, you know, but we have TV now, we have the news, we have all kinds of stuff to show us what everybody's doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, think about Big Brother, for example. You get to even see what they're doing on the side, you know? You can even get the shower cams.
Did you
whatever.
Have to mention that?
I got a friend that's their favorite show, Galboys. Yes, we won't name their name on the air, though. You know, but the real reason behind Mind Made Mask, and I love you, Eric, it's all good. Mind Made Mask is that it's good for the goose, good for the gander, you know, the martyr code, the angry reformed approach. It's not fair. It's just not fair. And why do they get away with it? All these concepts, there's a root. There's a root for all these reasons. There's a concept behind it. You know what that is? That's our ego. Ego is an interesting thing, the way that it shows us things. You know, the way that it might come into that whole perspective of it's good, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The way that it might design itself as the martyr code. Yeah, you know, Ashley, you've done everything you possibly can. You have just worked your fingers to the bone. You are just the best Christian there is, and you've done everything you can. And you know what? Nobody else is going to live up to it because, you know, they're all doing some crazy stuff.
That was a pretty good country accent.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ashley, you did everything by the book.
You just did everything by the book, girlfriend. Love. Like that. Ain't that great? I did that.
Yeah,
like that?
That is pretty good.
I could be like from Gone with the Wind. You know,
but fiddle dee dee.
Just little old me. You know how it is. You know, so think about that. I mean, mine came in the form of the angry reformed approach, right? That was me when I was like, first time quit smoking, I would sit there and be like, I'm not going to this restaurant. Not if you pay me $1 million because you allow smokers in there with everybody else. I mean, you know, golly.
And I just thought of something, actually. You know, parents do this. You know, maybe not reformed, but, I mean, they'll say, when I was that age, you know, I did this. So, you know, they're like extra strict on their kids or whatever. Or
my parents were strict.
Or that, you know, their kid's about to do something and they just flip out. You know, it's like, you know, when I was your age, you know, I did such and such and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, some parents can, I think, kind of go a little bit overboard with that.
And some of those parents are sitting there saying, hey, I don't want my kid to get hurt. And other of those parents are thinking, man, those were some of the best days of my life. I would really like to be able to be fancy free and doing some crazy stuff and not have to worry about this.
It's like, I'm going to be, whenever, if I ever have a daughter, and of course, you know that the old saying, daughters are God's revenge on men.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
If I ever have a daughter, I'm going to be the worst father ever because I mean, seriously, I'm going to lock this girl away and put her in a nun's habit and just make her live in the basement because I know what all those boys are thinking. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm not going to let some kid within 29 and a half feet of my little girl.
We got to flip this around. No, I mean, yes, I agree with you, and that is exactly how I would feel, too. But there's also a point of upbringing your child and teaching them what's right, and they won't have to worry about it. Because it is a two-way street, you know what I mean?
It is.
She's got to fall for it. But I know your concern. I mean, if I have a kid, I'd hope I had a boy first, you know what I mean? I think that that might be a little easier.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, you know, I mean, I only had one girl dog my whole life. Always, I mean, boy dogs are even easier for me. I mean, I don't even know a kid. Oh, gosh. You know, you got the kid and, oh, geez. You know, I have a friend of mine recently said that he took his daughter to school and he told her to leave the dorm room outside and he came inside and he did a prayer over the bed and in the room and prayed that no man would walk in here. No man would lay down on this bed.
Hilarious.
And so that was kind of
But I can totally relate to that.
I think everybody listening tonight can relate to that because you don't want something bad to happen. But at the same time, people got to live their life, you know. And I think our ego is what gets in the way. You know, with kids, you know, that's kind of a little different, but not really. It's kind of like, hey, I told you so more, or don't do this because I know the outcome. Or, you know, I've already lived this. I'm smarter than you. I'm faster than you. I'm the adult. And that's kind of an ego thing, too. It's also a helpful thing. But the martyr code, you know, that's something that a lot of us, and a lot of more women than men, have the martyr code, where they're taking care of the kids, and they're doing everything, and they're shopping, and they're taking care of everything. They're cleaning out the dishwasher. They're putting the sheets and the laundry and everything in there. And, you know, and the husband goes and throws a bunch of laundry into the laundry basket, never folds anything, never folds their socks, constantly overwhelmed with the sock scenario. I mean, you got like 60 pairs of socks. You're trying to figure that out. And you just get angry. You know, and you get a little more like, all I do is slave and sweat all day for you. Okay? But you know what? You are getting something out of it, and you are helping the family, and you are like upholding your end of the duty kind of thing. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, and maybe there's certain things that you might want to take out of your regimen. You know, sometimes the martyr code could be that you're just a little overwhelmed. You know, what about the angry reform? That was me before, but I've worked on that. And I've realized that the cigarette thing was the main reason why I was doing that. But when I was able to overcome cigarettes and see it for what it is, I let it go.
Well, I mean, and I think that you had to go, we were talking earlier about the recovery process. You had to finish the process. And I think maybe at that point when you're in the angry reformed, you hadn't finished the recovery process yet. It's taken you, what, 3 years? Well, know, to...
actually, when I first quit that last time, 3 years ago, I got rid of that process completely. I literally had no anger whatsoever. Like, day two.
Well, what about the
previous
first...
time? Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I quit, but I was kind of like one of those like people that were angry about quitting. You know, there's a difference. And I think that's also a structure we need to realize, too, is that you might have done something in the past that you no longer do. You might be a little upset that you're no longer living that way. I mean, sometimes you can look at people and live vicariously through them. Sometimes you make judgment calls because you're upset that you're not living through that way. At the same time, we kind of have to check our ego and realize what part of this is playing today. What is it playing? Is it going to play the side of this person is a bad person? Is it going to play the side of, well, I never can do this because I'm not allowed to do this? I mean, really, honestly, you're an adult. If you're listening to this show, more than likely, we do have some children that do tune in, but more than likely, I mean, kind of, you know, but more than likely, you're an adult. You're at least 18 years of age, and you can do whatever you want to do, really, honestly. We put up our own barriers to our life, and if you want to be doing something, check yourself, figure it out, and really analyze, is it something you want to do? Because I've realized in life, the things that we think we can't do, we actually put those on a pedestal, and we get very interested by them. And then when we finally venture out and do it, we go, this is boring. Like, you know, I can't believe I've been wanting to go to this bar the whole time. I go to this bar, and this sucks.
You mean the grass isn't always greener?
Oh.
Wait a minute. There's some videos out there on YouTube.
There are YouTube videos out there. There are YouTube videos. And I do help with this as well. You know, being a certified life coach as well, I do help people realize their future as well as to realize what they really have in life. Because honestly, it's not really about what we want. It's about what we already have. And sometimes we don't see how good we have it until something changes. You know, because you can't keep going on that sliding scale and judging yourself against someone else. So for example, if I kept judging myself against my best friend all the time, and I kept judging myself, oh, well, they got this and they got that, I'm never going to be happy. That sliding scale is going to completely move. What if I judge myself against myself every day? Now, that's more of a logical move because I know myself. I mean, I might be best friends with somebody for 5, 10, 15 years, but you know what? I only know the side that they show me. Okay, I don't know what's going on in their head. I don't know what their troubles are. I don't know what's in their medicine cabinet. I don't know what kind of ailments they have. I don't know if they're suffering from something or not. All I know is what I'm shown.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're just seeing what they choose to show you.
Yes.
And some people are more open than others.
And sometimes they can show you a very, very beautiful picture that you sit there and you try to live up to all the time. Their marriage might look like the best marriage that you've ever seen in your whole life. Their kids could be the absolute most beautiful kids you've ever seen. And you go, my God, my kids look like hillbillies compared to these kids. It's like something's wrong. Like my whole family, there's something off. But you know what? You really don't know what's going on. And you never will. You never will. They might not even really know what's going on. So to compare yourself to someone else, it's a losing proposition. You will always lose. You will never win. You'll always lose. And you'll always think that you're less than.
Yeah,
you know?
The only person you're really competing against is yourself.
Yes.
And the other person doesn't care.
Yeah, they don't even know you're competing against them. That's the funny thing is they're too much in their mind thinking about their problems, competing or judging themselves against you, probably. Seeing how you are so great and how your life is so awesome and how they don't have time to do this and your life is so good because you don't have kids and you're able to take a trip at a moment's notice, even though they don't realize that maybe a moment's notice was a 2-month, 3-month planning. There's all these concepts in life, and a lot of times the ego is always what stimulates it, because guess what? If the ego was off, you would only judge yourself against yourself. However, we want to judge everybody, and we want to judge them badly. We want to judge them good. We want to judge them based on things we've done, things we haven't done. We want to make judgment calls on everything. And you know what? When we stop making judgment calls on people, guess what? They stop making judgment calls on us. And guess what? We become a lot happier and healthier and more rounded and realize exactly what life's about, because it's not about judgment. It's about living. It's about being. That was a great show, Bill.
And guess what? It was a great show. And guess what? We're at the end of the show.
My goodness, it's the end of the show. What do we have for him tonight? Well, we have a great thing. It's called Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll see you next week. And guess what? We'll be back in 3 shakes.